listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Paul Strolley,
and welcome to State of the Art.
Actually, Michael, let's do that intro again because I didn't get my sliders up in time because I was so distracted by the lovely lady who just walked into the studio here. So let's start that again, Michael.
Give us our
lead in again.
I'm Paul Strolley.
And I am Michael Sterling.
And welcome to State of the Arts.
I have to work on the Michael Sterling voice. He's got the cashmere vocal cords. Hello, I'm Michael Sterling. I can only do it off your answering machine message.
Is that it?
Hello, this is Michael Sterling. I'm terribly sorry I missed your call. Actually, sorry is too small a word. So, anyway, how are you? Tell them about our show today, Michael.
Hey, we have some fantastic people today. Two lovely people in the studio. One of them is one of America's finest film, television, and stage actresses, the always captivating Miss Stephanie Zimbalist, who we'll speak to in just a few minutes. And the distinguished Louis Welkenfeld, artistic director of Cabrillo Music Theater, one of Southern California's most celebrated producing companies, housed in the beautiful Fred Cavalli Theater at Bank of America Performing Arts Center within the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. We'll be speaking to Louis just a little later in the show.
And as always, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. And to learn more about Breakdown Services, visit www.breakdownexpress.com.
And we'd also like to acknowledge Paul, PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're very grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our weekly arts calendar. So, Paul.
Yes.
It's been a week since we've seen one another. It's
been a magical week, Michael. I'm all a tither. Does it show?
Well, the tither part does. Yeah, it does. Shows lovely.
Yes, thank you.
But I know you've had a busy week.
I did.
Production.
We closed
Mr.
our show.
Mr. Strolley directed called Of Grapes and Nuts,
yes.
Which is a parody, a Steinbeck parody, on
a spoof of obviously the Grapes of Wrath and of Mice and Men. And we had a rocking run at the Victory Theater Center in Burbank.
Pee in Your Pants Funny.
Yes,
really?
Exactly.
In Your Pants
yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. I did the original production 20 years ago in Chicago.
Oh, my God.
And I was in the cast, and so I'm directing this one. And oddly enough, it's not produced often, which I don't understand, because it is dropped. I mean, when you'd think you couldn't parody. I mean, how do you parody Steinbeck? It's the unfunniest stuff in the world. But the good news is you may have spoken too soon, because there is a theater in Hollywood that we're in discussions with about actually moving it there for an extended run. So because of how well it was received. So we'll see what happens.
And I hope it does happen. And that, you know, Paul's a very, very smart man, and he always brings in shows that are interesting, and there's a marketing aspect to them as well that kind of puts them over the top. And my company, from a perspective of public relations, marketing is what we do in many cases. And we do unusual things, and we have over the years. And one of the things we handled, Paul's one-man show that he had some years ago, which was called Renaissance Geek.
And then straight up with a twist.
When
no one came to Renaissance Geek.
Right.
Did our field marketing for Renaissance Geek. It's like, it's a guy who is the freak about Renaissance fairs. It's like, gotta rework that title.
That eliminated everyone.
The subtitle on Paul's show was, you know the world's a cruel place when you're a straight guy that has great taste and a good eye for color.
It was like, it predated the whole metrosexual thing. This was in 1999, and it was about 3 years before Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And but Michael had a great idea in terms of speaking about marketing things, was these cakes.
Well, one of the things that we did was we decided to have chocolate cakes actually baked and hand-delivered by one Paul Strolley.
Nice.
And the message on them was, I know you're, to the media, to the reviewers. And the message was, I know you're coming. I baked a cake.
And of 21 reviewers approached with that got cakes. We got 20 of them.
That was
wow.
So,
yeah.
And what's so crazy is that now today, in post the whole tragedy in New York, 9/11, That's unacceptable.
Oh yeah,
you cannot do those things.
You couldn't walk in. Yeah, you'd be immediately frisked. But it's funny that you mentioned promotional items, though. Yeah. I have to tell you, because I mean, not like we prepared this, but I have pulled this thing off Reuters, and I wanted to share this with you, Michael, because I know that you being a PR person, and also with our guests today being very active in live theater, they will appreciate it certainly. In October, the award-winning, because I always think about what do you have to do to get people to theater in Los Angeles.
Sure, and we do have to think about those.
One of God's great mysteries, getting people to leave their homes after the amount they have to drive here. So there's in October, this is, like I said, from Reuters, the award-winning London theater company Ducky announced plans for a June 2011 production, Lullaby, at the Barbican Pit that would feature music and performances so soothing that patrons will be encouraged to attend in pajamas and lounge overnight in bed seats with an early morning shower included in the ticket price of £42 or $66. Producer Simon Kesson noted that irrespective of the play, it is almost impossible to find overnight facilities in central London for that price.
That's
so
true.
This is what has infuriated me. Forget twofers. In order to get people theatered out, we now have to offer lodging.
Or sleep.
And I love the fact that they're pitching the fact that... we're going to put you to sleep when you come to our production.
Let's be honest.
But we've got
that
covered. We've got it covered. We're giving you a bed seat. Oh,
wow.
Sad state of affairs.
What's next? Well, I think we should get into...
Well, there's that thing in New York at the Public right now. It's called GATS, I think. It's The Great Gatsby. And they read the book for 8 hours.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
The guy reads the book for 8 hours, and the people in the background act it. And people come and watch it, and you can't get a ticket. Oh. My niece is going this week.
How long?
She said it's a hot ticket, and it's 8 hours.
How long was Nicholas Nickleby? Do you remember?
Yeah, I know it's about 8 hours.
It was over a couple of nights.
I always wanted to write a sequel to that. Just make it 16 hours and call it Dimeless Dimelby. Anyone? Okay, it's an old joke. It's not mine. I won't take credit for it. Let's talk to the lovely people who have joined us today, Michael.
Absolutely. Well, Paul, as previously stated, she's one of America's finest actresses, currently thrilling audiences.
I wish everybody felt that way. Isn't that nice? Oh, thank you very much.
We all do. She is currently thrilling audiences and critics alike on stage through November 14th as Katherine Hepburn in Matthew Lombardo's Tea at at the Falcon Theater in Toluca Lake, California. Please welcome Miss Stephanie Zimbler.
That's easy for you to say.
Bravo. Stephanie, thank you for coming day off, no less.
Yes.
Because you would otherwise be out of Los Angeles, wouldn't you?
Not this particular Monday, but probably next Monday.
Yeah.
You never know.
And your day off immediately after opening your show.
That's right. This was closing week. I mean, opening week. Closing of opening week. That's right.
We had a week of previews and then the big opening on Friday.
Yeah, but this is my fifth production of this.
Of TF5.
Yeah. So it wasn't quite as stressful as it can be. It wasn't so bad. Yeah.
Well, and that theater over there, that's 130 seats. What a lovely theater.
Cocoon.
State of the arts.
Yeah. Very
nice. Lovely theater to work.
The Falcon is that intimate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a perfect place.
It's bigger,
place for
but it is.
Yes, it does.
It's this little cocoon. It's great.
Oh, yeah. See, I love, and I really want to come see it, and I will come see it because I love Tea at Five. A friend of mine did a production of Tea at Five a short time ago.
Really?
Yeah.
In North Hollywood?
Off Lancashire.
Yes.
Off Lancashire? Yes.
Right. It was the something. The
It was like two people's names.
Yeah, it's Linley.
Well, yes, Linley Whitmore.
Whitmore.
Yes.
Yes.
And I became familiar with the play through that.
Yes.
And I was fascinated by the play. And I'm very interested in your take on this. Because is there a preference of the two, but tell the listeners what the setup is, the time breakup of the two acts.
Yeah, it's two acts, and the first act takes place in 1938 when she is 31, and the second act takes place in 1983 when she is 76. The first act is she's waiting to hear if she is getting this great part on the screen. You find out in the course of it what part it is. She's dying to know whether she's going to get this part. And that's what she's waiting for. She's waiting for the call in the hour that she spent, 45 minutes that she spends with you in the first act. Second act, you know, life is she's had a full, wonderful life. And she just, you know, had a little accident with her ankle, broke her ankle. And she's now 76 and has life in a different perspective. And so you see the screen icon, and then you see the survivor.
Right.
And it's in the same woman. It's right. Kind of fun.
And is there a preference for you for which one you prefer?
No, it's great. I love them both. They're both equally challenging.
Yeah, I would imagine
yeah.
so.
Yeah. I mean, it's very challenging to try to look 31.
I think you pull
well, you
it
know,
off.
Something interesting that Stephanie does in this show, which I saw last week, is that, and something she said to me too, because I interviewed her for Broadway World Television, is that this isn't, she's not trying to do Katharine Hepburn, an impersonation of her. She is, it's kind of a reinvention of her.
Recreation.
Recreation, yes, that's a that's
recreation.
A
yeah, I, you know, if you try to, I told Dean today, if you try to separate me with voice and sound from what I do, the zeitgeist of what I do in the show, you might be disappointed. But when you come to the theater and you have, you know, you're enjoying the whole experience, you just dive right into it.
Right, right.
So I'm not trying to do, you know, Fred Travellina.
Well, and that
thank
does
God.
Not, and a good impersonation does not sustain an evening of theater. That's the big thing. It would become a Saturday Night Live, you know, skit. Not that there's anything wrong with a Saturday Night Live skit, but I don't want to watch one for 2 hours. You know, you have to have more depth to it than that.
I think
once people, it's a good point you made, once people are on for the ride, they will,
yes.
you know, enjoy it. And obviously, if you're doing it, if it's the fifth time you've done it, obviously you're doing something right. Maybe.
I hope so.
Well, you know, she's also, this is a project that is the 12th project that Stephanie has done with the director.
Yes, 12th or 13th. Or we can't really keep track. It depends on how you count. Because this is our, we count this the 12th, but it's the fourth production of Tea at Five.
Right.
In different state, different places all over. So.
But having met one another when you created the role in The Baby Dance.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Jenny Sullivan, the director,
yes.
directed that project.
Dear Jenny, yeah.
Dear
yeah.
Jenny, what a wonderfully fabulous. Interesting lady she is.
Oh,
and we had your co-star on. We had Linda Pearl on, who
yes,
was discussing The Baby Dance.
Too. Oh, really?
Co-star yeah. and good friend. No?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, she's all over the place. She's all over the map. She's on TV. She's a cabaret singer. She runs
she
theater festivals.
All. Yeah.
And she's a mom. And a great mom.
And she was on Happy Days, which is the show that yes. Lewis's company, Cabrillo Music Theater, is now doing on stage, Happy
yes.
Days the Musical.
Which is why Gary and Kathleen couldn't be at our opening because of you.
That's right. They were at our opening on
That's
Friday
right.
night.
That's correct.
So, Stephanie, out of all those projects that you've done with Jenny, do you have what are some of the highlights for you in working
well,
with
Well, we're looking forward to creating one of our own.
Yes.
That's what we'd like to do.
Nice.
We just, right now, I'm going to have a little bit more time than she is, but right now we've been kind of swamped. We've had a great time. We've had all kinds of wonderful things. Ad Wars was great fun. That was the West Coast premiere mm-hmm. of this wonderful play with David Dukes.
Mm-hmm.
Baby Dance was great. We were at Williamstown together with Baby Dance. We've been at the Rubicon for several shows and lots of fun there and good shows. Hamlet was pretty interesting. Jenny directed Hamlet, never having directed a Shakespeare. And it was a beautiful, muscular production of Hamlet. It was fantastic. And I was juggling my mother's death and a new dog and my father without my mother and who was in the play too. So my Gertrude left a bit to be desired.
I'm sure you pulled through.
I made her alcoholic. Fun. I figured I can't answer all these questions. Let's just make her a drunk.
The easy way to character development.
He's laughing.
You've had the pleasure of working with your father more than once.
Yes. Yeah,
I worked Night of the Iguana, I think.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm actually working with him in this. Because when the patrons sit in their seats,
yes.
the voice that says, "Welcome to the Falcon Theater," is my father.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Nobody knows it, though. They know he doesn't say it. They just kind of look around, and they're baffled, like, I know that voice.
I know that voice.
What is that?
Oh,
such
that's
a distinguished
wild.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Lives north of us here, and Stephanie
yes,
goes and sees him
yeah.
often.
Yeah. He's healthy and fine at 91.
And driving, wow. you said, and driving.
Yes. No, I wouldn't say it too loudly, but yes, he is driving.
He's driving, but we don't encourage it? Is that what you're saying?
Sure, let's tell the DMV he's driving.
Oh. Forget I said that.
He has a license.
He's driving a golf cart around the property.
That's right.
Now, of course, everyone knows you from television and your 5 years on Remington Steele.
Do they really? That's like 30 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, but it's still, it was a classic series.
Yeah,
you know,
they expect you to look exactly the same as you did when you were years old.
You were kind of almost a Bond girl in a sense, weren't
oh,
you?
Oh, not at all. Not
I
at
mean,
all.
With Pierce.
No, no, I looked like a kid. I looked like a schoolgirl in that. I look
You're
like this
adorable.
Little thing in a boarding school or something. I see pictures, you know, they come by to autograph, and I think, who is that?
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one, because I happened to watch the show, and I wasn't thinking schoolgirl.
So well, you should have been
there. I should have. I should have. And my wife and I were talking about this, that she was, you know, we each had our own sort of television crushes going on, because she was all over Pierce Brosnan,
right.
obviously. So,
right.
you know, just like. Yeah. So, I mean, you might have felt that way. You know, that way.
Oh, and an actress by the name of Doris Roberts was in that show.
Yes.
As well.
Yes, I know.
Who,
I remember that.
Who, goodness, has just continued to work and work and work and
yeah.
work.
I saw her on an episode of All in the Family recently.
Oh, my.
She was a bar fly in that Kelsey's bar that Archie used to go to
oh,
all the time.
Fun.
And she just, one of those people just, you see, like, and what else did I see her in recently? I watched the original Taking of Pelham 123.
Oh, my.
The first one. And she's the mayor's wife in that. She's got one scene and she just tears it up.
Wow.
Love,
yeah.
love Doris Roberts.
Yeah.
She's great.
She's great.
So there's some things that we found, some trivia about Stephanie Zimbalist.
Oh, I can say whether it's true or not. That's good.
Oh, this one's most likely true, I would say. Studied music and acting at Juilliard.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
correct?
Uh-huh. I don't say that very often, but yeah.
Was originally cast as Anne Lewis in RoboCop, but had to give up the part to Nancy Allen when called back to resume filming episodes of Remington Steele?
Yes, that's true. I just saw Nancy the other day. That's right. That's right.
And your aunt, Marcia Davenport, was the best-selling author of Valley of Decision and East Side, West Side, both of which were made into motion pictures.
Mm-hmm.
She also wrote the definitive biography of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, which has never been out of print.
It's a fantastic book.
Yeah.
She's glorious. Yeah. She's
okay, can I chime in on what
yes,
I want to know about
please.
His trivia? I want to know about working with Jimmy Stewart and turning 21 while you and you getting working on The Magic of Lassie with
That's
Jimmy
right.
Stewart.
Yeah, I was his last leading lady.
Really?
I was.
Oh,
I
that's...
was.
Oh.
I was indeed. He was divine. He was so... One thing I didn't really expect was how funny he was. I mean, stitches funny, like drop dead funny, just like you can't shoot the scene because you're laughing too hard.
Oh, like
funny.
Intentionally so though.
No, just because we were shooting something in the Napa Valley. We were shooting Lassie, and he had the car he was driving, and I was operating a tape recorder because it was a musical, so we had to match the camera was up in a helicopter. So they would see us saying, oh, golly gee, I love that hometown feeling like... So they'd see our lips.
Right.
So we had to have a tape recorder on my foot so that we'd match.
So you could hear
So we'd
it.
All
yeah.
be singing the same thing.
Yeah.
Then the dog, the Lassie dog, I had on a piece of microfilament on my pinky. Then I had, in those days, the walkie-talkie was about as big as your laptop. And the boy, who was playing my brothers in the back seat, bouncing all over the place. And meanwhile, Jimmy can't see. He can't see the road. He can't see where he's going. And his comments while we're trying to shoot this thing and look happy and sing this song and push the button, I was just beside myself. I couldn't even talk. I couldn't talk at all. But he was just heaven. And he taught me something. I think he told me this. I don't know whether he told it to me or whether I watched it, but I believe he said something to me. He said, what you want to do, you want to bring the tears right to the lip of the eyes and never let the tears go over, because then you'll bring them to you.
Right.
If the tears go over, then you're not letting them have the experience. And
right.
so,
which is...
He was really...
Which is almost like, I mean, it's reminiscent of the Katharine Hepburn quote that's in the promotional material. If you give an audience a chance, they'll do half your acting for you. And it's almost like eliciting that...
Mm-hmm.
Did I say eliciting? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Elicit? To elicit that response from the audience and just have them right on the edge of it.
However, if you remember, Katharine Hepburn cried at the drop of a hat.
Did she?
Mm-hmm. She could cry out of her left eye. She could cry out of her right eye. Depending on where the camera was, she could control it like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Do you know, I must interject something. This is a little self-serving. When I was acting as a young child and on into my young adult years, that's the one thing that I didn't have enough experience to know how to draw upon something internal to make me cry, when especially in television. And you know how I cry? I'm embarrassed to admit this.
Pinched.
I know.
Onion.
This is an old trick that I had learned from someone.
Nose hair?
No.
I'm just going to keep going with disgusting, painful
for
things.
For the theater. I couldn't do it.
Nipple clamps? I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
I'm going to keep going.
Say something.
Tell us, Vicks Vapor Rub.
Vicks Vapor Rub.
Place.
Yeah, on the nipples. That'll really go.
Strategic places on the set.
Yeah.
And I would go by and somehow work my finger up to my eye.
Okay. So
just start right in, you know, with the timing I would get down so that it would happen. Then everyone would go, what's that?
It's only when he cries.
The makeup guys do that with actors sometimes. They put this stuff up your nose, and it's the same thing. It's
that was the 80s. It was called cocaine.
Oh. So I missed that.
But really, Vicks Vapor Rub.
Vicks Vapor Rub. Try it sometime next time you have to cry.
No, see, the thing is, with this honker, it could be in the same room, and I would absorb it very well. You know,
Good Lord. You know, another piece of trivia about Stephanie is that she is an honorary member of the Stunt Women's Association. Is this true, Stephanie?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That is true, too.
And that was as a result of, it says here, of learning deep water and slalom skiing while on location in Acapulco for Remington Steel.
No, Debbie Evans was my stunt gal on Remington, and I tried to do as much as I could on my own, and when it was incredibly dangerous, I'd hand it over to Debbie. But both she and Ernie were very impressed with what I could do. I mean, I did all kinds of crazy things.
Now, what about
And so they did that. I had this beautiful leather jacket. I was an honorary member of the Stunt Women's Association. Oh. Yeah.
Is it true that you and Rue McClanahan got terribly lost in Madrid for an hour while you were making a movie?
No, it was more than an hour. We were...
is it true that you and Rue McClanahan got lost in Madrid? Who would make that up? Of course it's true.
It's so goofy.
We got completely lost.
Yeah, what happened? Yeah.
Spanish is okay, you know, not great, but she didn't speak a word of it. And we were talking, and she was going on a power. She used to do that. She lived in Encino too. And she used to go on these power walks, and I was just trying to keep up with her at lunch. And I said, can I go with you? And she said, sure. And so we started to walk, and she was walking very fast, and we got on a subject or something. And then I looked at the clock, and we were supposed to be back, and we didn't have any clue where we were supposed to be. Didn't remember the name of it. I don't remember how we got. I have some funny getting lost stories in Spain. One was in Portugal, actually, but the other was in Spain. And we just kept wandering around, and we were sweatballs by the time. They wouldn't let us go anywhere after that, ever. She was a doll, though.
She was a lovely lady. I had the pleasure of working with her once.
And then I did one of those... books on tape where I had to play 33 Oklahomans, you know. And I thought, oh, dear, Oklahoma, what am I going to do? And I remembered Rue's from Oklahoma. And so I thought, oh, that's right, Rue has those long things. So I just made 33 different people with long sounds.
And the producer was just like, okay, everyone can't be sexy.
They weren't. But they all had that long thing.
That drawn out. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Michael, would you give the stats on how people can see T at 5?
Absolutely. And
know if they'd want to see it by this point.
Oh, no. It's a must-see. Oh, you've got to go see the work of this wonderful, wonderful actress. And to do that, you simply go to the Falcon Theater online site, which is falcontheater.com. That's theater with an R-E at the end. Or call the Falcon Theater box office at area code 818-955-8101. And that theater, of course, it once again is in Toluca Lake, California, a very beautiful community just outside of Los Angeles proper, I guess, or it's part of it.
It's slash Burbank. Yeah, they like to call Burbank. It Burbank, but I like to call it Toluca
Lake. It's Toluca Lake, yes.
It's a great little area there. There's a ton of great restaurants around there, too.
Yes.
The show plays through November 14th, so don't miss that.
And for those who want to just stay up to date with what's happening with Stephanie aside from the show, go to stephaniezimbalist.net. That's stephaniezimbalist.net. And you can learn things aside from Tea at 5 and other things that we will also update. You know, we should put something on. We should put a link on our site to hers.
I think so.
Because it's a whole communal thing.
Yes, let's do.
What do you think?
I like it.
What are you saying, let's do? You know I'm going to do it.
Well,
I do the website.
You have my permission. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Stephanie, can you stay with us for the
sure,
second half?
Sure,
oh, good.
I'll just shut up.
Good.
Chime in.
I
didn't
ever.
Shut up. You should.
You totally shut up.
And you're not. We're not finished. I mean, we have something special
at
the end for both of you. So.
Okay.
We do have an arts calendar, though, Paul, to address.
You want to kick it off, Michael?
I will. Spanning the years 1938 to 1950, Odin von Horvath, Bertolt Brecht, the Mann brothers, Thomas and Heinrich, and other German-speaking writers escape Hitler in Hollywood and find themselves fighting not just for survival, but for their cultural and artistic identity. Academy Award winner Christopher Hampton's Tales from Hollywood is a richly entertaining, witty, and touching play about artistic ideals and human compromises, currently on stage at the Odyssey Theater in West Los Angeles through December 19th.
A 2010 Pulitzer Prize finalist Christopher Diaz's Welcome to Arroyos is a heartwarming story about a brother and sister finding their respective places in the world after the death of their mother. Alejandro is desperate to make Arroyos the hottest lounge in New York to honor the memory of his mother, while Molly's desire is to make her mark as a talented graffiti artist is at odds with her new infatuation with a rookie cop. Why do you give me these to read? I got Arroyo, I got Alejandro, you got...
Alejandro.
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 Okay, well, you get the easy German pronunciation.
Yeah, that's easy.
Their struggle is to move forward made even more uncertain as they discover what might be a secret about their mother that could change the very foundation of their lives and possibly the history of hip-hop music. Catch it now on stage at the Old Globe Theater in San Diego, California through October 31st. And I love the Old Globe. It's a great space. Have you seen anything there?
I haven't recently, no.
Yeah, my friend Ted has done a number of shows out there.
You can actually get to the Old Globe without getting in your car at all.
Really?
Take the train and get off at Old Town, and there's this little bus shuttle.
The
thing.
Shuttle that goes to Balboa Park.
Yeah, you don't need to have your car down.
That's
there.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It's a terrific idea.
So give me a job, Old Globe. Look what I just told you. I told you all the people could get down to it from LA.
For further information about any productions and or events mentioned in today's State of the Arts Live calendar, visit us on our website, stateoftheartsla.com, and we also suggest that you drop in at performingartslive.com, where you can search for Southern California events in several different categories happening every day of the week.
Now, before we speak to Lewis, Michael, I want to, because we're going to move on to the Cabrillo Music Theater, and we got the whole music theme going for the second half. Speaking of music, you had a performer that we actually mentioned earlier in the show, Sissy Connor, who had
Sissy
done
Connor.
Another production of Tea at Five, who just performed at your club. What's the name of that place again?
Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's in Studio City, in the beautiful Tonga Village, actually. And Sissy opened last night and made her debut on stage at our nightclub. And, you know, she's a very, very funny lady. She is a singer, but she is an impressionist. She's a comedian. And she brought it all in. She brought her Katharine Hepburn in. She brought Cher in. She brought a country western character that she developed, and several others. And it was a very, very entertaining evening. And her musical selections were also very entertaining. She had a wonderful musical director by the name of Shelley Markham, who was very distinguished in the world of cabaret.
Yeah. He's with Andrea.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it was a grand night, and also the opening of her very enterprising business, Bare Soul.
Oh, that
which
idea.
Which is an amazing shoe store for ladies. Which the shoe stores are all made to your own personal design. I mean, there's a foundation of the shoe.
No, it's not even... Oh, I'm sorry. Do you mind me chiming in on this?
Do,
because
yeah.
I've followed this from the very start. The shoes, the soles are custom. You know, they're made... You know, they do custom shoes. But then you buy the bottom, and then you, buying accessories and straps and all that, you can customize the top. depending on your outfit. So you could buy the one pair of shoes, and you can make 100 different designs from one, depending on your outfit. And she's kicking ass and taking names with that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Wow, that's a great idea.
So you're kind of involved in that designing process when you pick the fabric and so forth.
And she had her reception at her boutique because she was
four doors away. Sterling's upstairs.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So it was a lovely night, and I take my hat off to her. She did great business, and it was fun, and it was raining outside. It was very, you know, it was all cozy and all good, and we had a great time.
I'm glad it went well.
Yes, indeed. And as we are speaking of music, our next guest brings 30 years of theater experience to his position as Artistic Director of Cabrillo Music Theater in Thousand Oaks, California. Under his leadership since 2006, Cabrillo Music Theater has been rewarded with numerous Los Angeles Ovation nominations and multiple wins. Please welcome the man that keeps those Ovation nominations and wins a-coming, Mr. Louis Wilkenfeld.
Hey, we applauded for Stephanie. Yeah, let's applaud for Louis.
Oh, I like that effect. I just have to say, I'm just like you, Paul. I was had a crush on Stephanie all through Remington's Deal. That's a goosebump moment for me.
Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah. You know.
It's so nice to hear past tense. It's just.
Well, now I'm right here.
That crush is even bigger now, right?
Yeah, right.
Don't tell my wife.
I had the pleasure of seeing the opening of the Cabrillo Music Theater season this past weekend and their production of Happy Days, new musical.
Funny you should mention that, Michael, because I think we have that right here.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Happy Days. Thursday, Friday, Happy Days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums.
And indeed, they were happy days, and they are happy days on stage at Cabrillo Music Theater out in Thousand Oaks. What an amazing show. What a great show. What a great fun
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was good to see you there, Michael.
Thank you, Louis. And the night before, you had Gary was out there, as Stephanie said at the beginning of the show.
That's right. I didn't realize he had ditched Stephanie for us now, and I'm feeling a little guilty.
No. His own theater. No. It's okay.
No, why should he be there?
Beautifully directed and so colorful, and it was nothing but just pure kind of family fun. It was an amazing cast of people, I might add, right?
Well, thank you. We're so pleased with the whole cast. And, of course, Gary wrote the book of the show, just like he did the TV show. But Paul Williams wrote the music and lyrics, which is everything. It's an entirely new score, except for that theme you just played, which is weaved in a couple of times.
Exactly.
Paul's done an amazing job of just capturing the 50s.
Really?
And the energy of the era and all new songs. It's another Grease.
No,
it's
I'm curious.
Really that much fun.
I'm curious that you mentioned that. Is it a new score with the same lyrical content
completely new score
and
lyrics. He wrote music and lyrics.
Oh wow.
And it's and some great songs. He has a song all about Fonzie's power, they call Snap, where he snaps his fingers and the girls do different things and when Pinky Tuscadero comes in, he's got the Pinks in town and they sing together, Dancing on the Moon, and Mrs. Cunningham sings a beautiful ballad called What I Dreamed Last Night.
Tracy Lohr, what a singer.
Tracy Lohr, and she's joined by Joni, and then later by Pinky, because they all have different dreams about what they want in their lives.
Oh,
it's just a beautiful piece of writing. I really, really love these songs.
That trio with the three of them in the second act that they do.
It's just great. And Tessa, who plays Joni, Tessa Grady.
16 years old.
16 years old playing a 16-year-old. I know.
Oh, my.
And she's going to be something someday. We're very proud that this is where she's jumping off from, because in a couple years we won't be able to afford her. She'll be off doing bigger things.
There you go. You go.
It says here in her bio, seeking representation.
Does it say that?
Yes, it does.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Not too soon, Tessa. Give us one more week.
Yeah.
She's smart.
Before you have to negotiate. Now, you also have, as Richie Cunningham in this, you have someone who was a guest on this show a couple of weeks back, Derek Klena.
More than a couple of weeks, but yes, Derek Klena, who was from our LA's Next Ray stage time.
That's right. We introduced
him to Louis, and Louis hired him to be the prince in their production of Cinderella with Marshall Wallace and Sally Struthers and Melissa Mitchell, another alumni of stage stars. So
Derek is amazing. And,
of course,
Derek, to play Richie, has had to dye his hair red.
What a shocker that
was
to see.
Well, for a 19-year-old, that's kind of a heartbreaker. As you get older, you realize we don't have it that long anyway, whatever color it works for the show. But he's put on a brave face, and he does a wonderful job in the show. And it's amazing to think that the guy who could play the prince in Cinderella could turn around and play Richie Cunningham. You know, wow. Somebody who's got to play against the same kind of charm that worked for him. Right. In Cinderella.
He's like the hardest working teenager in show business, isn't he? He's huge.
And he's a full-time student at UCLA.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And an amazing baseball player. He plays baseball as well as he sings.
Yes. No, he's tremendous. And one of the things we're very proud about at Cabrillo, because we have a limited number of union contracts, so we have a lot of non-equity people who start with us, it gives us a chance to see these young people on the way up, and we take a lot of pride in the fact that we're a step along the way for them. It's great when somebody like Derek or Melissa Mitchell or Tessa Grady spend some time on our stage, because they're destined for great things, and then we can say we knew them when, and hopefully they're getting kind of a professional stage experience. And Derek to work with Sally Struthers, and now somebody like Tessa to work with Tracy Lohr and Misty Cotton and Derek Keeling.
Exactly.
is a great mix of talent and experience.
And Callie Carson, too. I mean, you gave her a great break, because I think that the role was cast and there's some with a television star originally. Is that correct?
In Little Shop of Horrors. This was a great opportunity for us. We had already cast the role of Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors, and the actress got a movie, and we always wish people well. We particularly wish them well the day after the show closes.
Right.
But in this case, we were glad. I loved working with Callie. We had spent an hour together at Callbacks just messing around with some stuff, and she jumped into the role and did a lovely job with it all the way through, and she's in the show as well, of course.
Yes.
It really reminds me of the National Theatre in London, that people would come, they'll do a lead in one show, they'll do a supporting role in the next, and it's another thing, especially with young people, that we're glad to encourage, and we're happy when they accept it, because too many people are telling them, only go up, only go up, only go up,
and
they don't understand that part of going up is deepening your experience.
Sure.
Well, the experience of working for Cabrillo Music Theatre is one unto itself. You've been out to the Fred Cavalier.
No, Cavalier. I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I've
got to
go. I really want to
right
see
1,800 seat theatre. Gorgeous.
You're kidding. No,
gorgeous. You drive by it all the way on the way to the Rubicon. We'll get you there.
Yeah,
sure. Oh, it's right on the 101 freeway.
And you know, big singer here.
I know.
My one and only, Tommy June.
That's right.
He sang for us earlier on the show. We have that forever.
On the internet.
You know, and speaking of Happy Days and your 2010-2011 season, another nonstop musical blast from the past starring Southern California and New York's favorite performers, the Marvelous Wonderettes, February 4th to the 13th, written and directed by Roger Bean.
That's right.
That's
Rogers.
Coming up.
It's a great show.
Roger's done a wonderful job all across the country now of providing theaters with these great musicals. They're smaller cast. They use songs that are already written, and he constructs these really clever scripts and stories. Marvelous Wonderettes is based, you know, on his own life. He writes about it in the program of each production, about his mom and the era. And I think that's...
It's the girl bands, right? It's the girl bands of the
60s? This is not girl band.
No.
This is the...
Yeah. I'm thinking Beehive musical.
You're thinking of Beehive. Right. Yeah. This is actually the prom in the 50s, and then revisiting the same four ladies 10 years later in the
60s. Oh, gotcha.
Okay. It's brilliant,
and
actually.
Yes.
How
yeah.
great.
Yes, it's beautiful, and it's got all the great songs from the 50s that you like. It's got Mr. Sandman, and it's got the... It's My Party, and it goes into the 60s, and you've got Respect, and you've got so many great. There are over 30 songs from the show, and we've got Misty Cotton coming back, who's
yes.
in Happy Days.
Fantastic.
And Bette Malone, and Beth Malone, and Darcy Roberts. So
fantastic,
four
fantastic.
Formidable
all
ladies.
Four of those ladies.
And then you're following that with this, it's really unique idea. I'm not familiar with this one, but it's something called The Producers.
We thought we'd try something new.
Good for you.
Yes.
But it stars our friends Larry Rabin and David Engel in this wonderful
great.
Show.
And Michael Kostroff.
And Michael Kostroff, yes. Yes.
They're really wonderful.
I know Larry has done the show many, many places, and David has done.
Yes,
so
Larry
I'm thrilled
did it in Las Vegas
out.
For a year.
Right.
For the year-long run.
And on Broadway, he replaced
the Teflon man, he just keeps going and going.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's amazing.
And
he's
Larry, of course, won an Ovation Award for us directing Singing in the Rain 2 years ago.
Yes.
Larry and David are both big, very important to Cabrillo Music Theater.
Hugely talented. Each of them are hugely talented. And that's always nice to see them on stage. And I'm coming to that one because I've never seen The Producers.
Okay.
You know
what?
I haven't either.
Yeah,
I know the music, but we should go see it.
Absolutely, and then of course the evergreen Sound of Music comes next summer to Cabrillo, And, of course, that's by Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein II, with a book by Howard Lindsay, and Russell Krauss, and suggested, of course, by the Trapp Family Singers by Maria Augusta Trapp. If you've never seen it or your children have never seen it, you've got to take them to see this classic, which when I go to see The Sound of Music, it's always somehow like seeing it for the first time. Mm-hmm. It's something that's just kind of a part, I think, of everyone's childhood and growing up, and
sure.
still remains the number one box office movie of all
time.
That's
right.
Musical movie of all time.
And one of the struggles with it is, of course, there were songs written for the movie that for
right.
years were not allowed to be put into the show, and now they are.
Oh, really?
Yes, you can get the rights to them through R&H.
Do a chair with me.
That's it. Well, that's from the show. You're right, that's from the show, not usually.
That's the
Countess's song.
Yeah,
the Baroness's song.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
the Baroness. There
Legend
you go, right
of
here.
Nothing.
Stephanie Zimbalist.
Such a great.
See, there you go.
She's auditioning right here.
Yeah, here we go.
She doesn't audition.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do with the best of them.
Don't spoil my false image, please. So,
no,
well.
I just sit at home and blatter my dog. I don't audition.
Oh, I got to meet her dog
oh, okay.
in her dressing room last week. What a sweetheart.
Can I tell you something, Michael, before
yes,
we finish up? Because Cabrillo Music Theater, a lot of companies are struggling, a lot of companies. Are fighting off financial disaster, and was one mistake that in typo in my bio, which is it's not my leadership. I do the artistic stuff. The leader is Carol W. Nussbaum.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, you can find Lewis's all over the country trying to put on good shows. There's only one Carol. She she is the one who keeps us alive. She goes after corporate sponsors. She goes after the big donors. She sees where there's a problem and she shores it up a dam is about ready to burst, and she never lets it burst. And while other companies come and go, she is not just my boss and my friend. She's my hero for what she does. And I got to tell you one other thing. You've come to our shows. You know the outreach programs we've started.
Yes.
Adopt a senior, adopt a school. We've brought in schools. Now we do shows for the military. We take entertainment up to the military base
wow.
in Port Hueneme. Now we bring them down
fantastic.
To us.
Yes.
And we have adopt homeless animals and in need animals. And this is all her. Carol was the one who reminded us that theater is not just about what we get from doing mm-hmm. shows. It's what we give by being part of the community.
Well,
so I just had to say that.
And thank you for bringing that up, because I'm experiencing that now with the people who work at Seaglass and some of the people who do exactly what it is you're talking about
yes.
that is the most unsung, and they don't get the recognition that they deserve, because it's not the glamorous job. It's
in the trenches.
And thank you for mentioning that, because
yes.
they really need to be recognized.
In theater, we tend to think of ourselves as the charity, ourselves as needy.
Yeah.
She's reminded us that there's elements of society way more in need than we are.
Well, you know what I like about Carol, and you're absolutely right, she's larger than life, and
yes,
she takes it all, you know, right from her heart.
That's right.
And gives it back to the community.
We're very
so
fortunate.
Kudos
she's
to her.
A practicing attorney, but nobody is more theatrical in our company
yeah.
than Carol, and she loves what we do, and she supports it, and she's the biggest fan of it all, but she is a leader in the purest sense of the word.
Well, here's a suggestion for her.
All
the
right.
next time you talk to her, just say, try letting the people sleep in the theater overnight. And see what a revenue generator that is. Try that one.
I must say, too, before...
I will pitch that, and I'll give you credit.
Okay, please do. Please do.
I must say that Cabrillo has their annual holiday spectacular December 21st to the 24th. This December with the beautiful Shirley Jones and her son Patrick Cassidy.
And this is an outgrowth of the holiday,
yes.
of going to the Naval Base. We took our Cabrillo stars for the last 2 years to the Naval Base and just did a USO show
mm-hmm.
For free and with a little band. And then last year we did a concert, a version of White Christmas, and brought the troops to us. This is an outgrowth of what we like to do, which is bring our shows to the people who need
them. And it's
military
a very...
come with their families right before the holidays are over, and they watch the show before they get shipped out, and it's a really
You've got the dancers,
treat.
And you've got the live orchestra on the
mm-hmm.
stage, and it's
16-piece
it's
orchestra.
Spectacular.
It's going to be a great show.
Let me chime in here and let people know, before we forget, for ticket information to attend these shows, for call the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza box office at 805-449-2787. That's 805-449-2787. 949-2787. And for group sales of 12 or more, please call 805-497-8613. And the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza is located at 2100 Thousand Oaks Boulevard in Thousand Oaks, California. Is there a website, Liz?
www.cabrillomusictheater.com. And theater is spelled R-E.
Yes, theater is spelled R-E.
And Happy Days is only one more week. Our
show
is
right.
Only
go
run
see
two weekends.
It, ladies and gentlemen.
This weekend and this. I know. We'll compare schedules when this is over. But I'm bringing my daughter to see yours.
Oh,
I can't wait.
God.
Okay, we got 5 minutes left, Michael. We gotta baptize these two. We have to initiate
them both. Yes.
Uh-oh, they do have water bottles here.
Yeah. We do. We do. Go
it's
ahead.
It's vodka.
Paul.
It's been vodka since two.
Okay. Notice I brought my own.
She brings the expensive stuff.
Yes. Can I hide behind you, Stephanie?
We have a little thing where we initiate our guests by having them tell us about their worst nightmare story of being on the stage.
Either on stage or on film or on television, yes, or something they were producing or something they were in. Most embarrassing, most awkward, biggest theatrical nightmare you can recall.
Well, the first one that comes to mind is the first one.
Because it's the most damaging.
Well, no. I was at Susie Dietz, who had been the drama teacher at the Harvard School, was now running the Las Palmas Theater, which is no more. And Frank Levy gave me a job. I was working with Greg Harrison and Brian Stokes Mitchell and Roxanne Parker and Bill Hutton. Wonderful people. Lots of good people in that show. And Billy and I had to, it's a musical called Festival. Mm-hmm. And all the group is singing, everybody sings, and then two by two drop out, "It's all for the love." And then two people, "It's all for the love." And it's a cappella. And Billy and I are walking towards each other. And I've just done a quick change, a really fast change. I have basically a bathing suit on or something like that with fishnets. And this lovely sort of slinky thing. And Billy and I are coming toward each other. And Lucy, my friend Harry and I went to Juilliard together. It was his ex-wife. She was my dresser. And she was changing really fast in the dark, and she didn't get the thing hooked up. And Billy's looking right at me, and we're the only ones singing on stage, and he pretends nobody will notice. So it's wide open, my dress. It's just completely wide open. And he tries to take his upstage hand and grab the snap and try to snap me without looking at it. So he's sort of looking in my eyes and stabbing at my chest. And it's awful. And he keeps missing and keeps lurching into my chest. Now I'm laughing, and the audience finally gets what's going on, and the whole house just comes down, just starts to laugh. Because he's not making it. He just is trying. It's sort of like a dog going on stage and, you know, those kind of things. But we finally got the thing snapped, but that was just terrible. Because it's this romantic moment, and you have to take it very... I mean, but the stories go on, and Linda's girl's dress fell off. Everybody's clothes.
It's always
fall.
About clothes.
Yeah.
It's always
it
about
is.
Clothes. Michael, with you, it was about clothes,
right?
Which your story you've told twice about the dance belt and
yeah.
all that.
Yeah.
But Lewis, you have to have some. You have
oh,
to have
dear.
a catalog of nightmare stories.
Actually, I don't think I've had my worst theater experience.
Oh.
I'm still wrestling with it.
You're not getting out that easy.
Well, as a I haven't acted in 25 years, so the last thing I did... I mean, everything I did on stage was the worst experience of my life. And that's why I'm now a director and a producer. But this isn't quite what you're asking for, but I had to... A director had to be let go of a show about... that when I was freelance directing. This was about 8 years ago, a week before the show opened, and I got called to come in and start, you know, and just finish it up. The producer said, "I think it's all stage. You just have to kind of put it together. It's a big musical." And I'm getting ready to go in. It's literally a week before opening. And my agent said the wisest thing that anyone could have ever said to me, which was, "No matter how it's going, act like it's going to be fine, because these people have been through a lot." And I went in and found out that literally she had staged none of the show.
Oh,
we
boy.
I said, "Well, let's just go through the show, and every time you you know you've done something, do it. You've been taught something, do it. And every time you haven't, don't fake it, because then I won't know if you've been staged or not. So just turn and look at me. And we did it, and people would walk on stage and they'd do these little snippets of scenes, and then they'd just turn and look at me. And then other people would walk on and turn and look at me. And finally we got to the end of the first act and they all just turned and looked at me and sang. This was at the designer run through. I'm sitting there next to the lighting designer. And then when we started the second act, the lighting designer says, "What do you want to do with this one?" I said, "I haven't seen this one yet. Yeah. We're not sure what's gonna happen." And it was a great life lesson. It's not the story you want to hear at all.
No, I love it.
It's taught me, but it's something that's carried me through ever since. You don't want to, you keep an even keel that everyone's looking to us. Whoever us are, the star, the director, the producer, they want to know that we have a plan to get them from here to there.
Sure.
And I've always learned to either come in with a plan or tell them I have a plan. And it was a great life lesson, that show.
So. That's kind of right out of the producers, isn't it?
That is. Yeah. That is.
Yeah.
Springtime.
I want to. Do we have time for one more?
We got 30 seconds.
Second. I was a patron. I was at the Santa Barbara Adult Community Center, and the gal who coached me to get into The Tempest at the Taper was playing Major Barbara in Major Barbara. It was a community production. And it was, you know, bite your lip kind of time, basically, anyway. It was pouring rain outside. Top of second act, the costumer's dog comes in because it's wet outside. Period piece, everybody's on stage. The dog comes in wagging his tail, and everyone, to a man, pretended that the dog was not there. I lost it so badly. The tail is banging against these costumes. I was a wreck. I went screaming from the theater.
I love that. I love that. If we pretend they're not here, they won't be here. It's a dog. It's a dog wagging his tail. We're going to say goodbye. As one final push, this has been a State of the Arts. Michael, it's always a pleasure to jump on the airwaves
with you.
Thank you,
Paul. And you know, next week, Paul, I just have to mention we will be welcoming former producer and filmmaker for Universal Studios turned nightclub star Barbara Van Orden, and a very special young man in my life, because he's been a client of mine for the past 24 years, and he's a great person, by the name of Scott Hamilton, the great Olympic champion. Scott Hamilton, great. Who's got his annual CARES Cancer Fundraising Gala coming up on November 7th.
Okay, and as a final plug for Cabrillo Music Theater, we're going to play you off the air with the Happy Days theme again. Because
that's great.
Go see it.
So fun show. Lots of great dance.
Check us out during the week at stateoftheartsla.com. And one second.